Well, good evening.
Good evening. Let's find a hymnal. Let's turn over to number 180. Something Wonderful. Let's all stand together.
Okay, put on your thinking caps. Here's a family question. How long have the Crots been in Papua New Guinea? 1 year, you got it. It's fast. That was family. That's good. Okay, here's another family question. How much did the cost of that car go up from the time before they got there to when they got there? It's a number. It's like a... Yes. I was looking for an amount, like how many, like, did it double, did it triple, did it quadruple, did it forkle? Is forkle a word? But that's good. I'll take that answer. Huh?
Quadruple.
It was tripled, actually. Tripled. I thought things were bad here.
Was that wording in the letter?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. No, you did good. Thank you. Okay, here's a church question. This one's interesting. He taught a couple classes at Bible College. One of them was on the life of a certain apostle. You got it. The life of Paul, formerly Saul. Church for the Crots. I bet you can. Okay, a geography question. The tropical cyclone that hit before Easter youth camp hit in southeast Papua New Guinea, and it mentioned a spot. I think I saw it over here. You got it. I think it's pronounced Milne. Yeah, M-I-L-N-E, Milne. Milne Bay, very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you all. Amen. The most competitive hour at Heritage Baptist Church. I love it. I do love it. I do. I think it's a good spirit. And some are like, man, they're just too fast for me. You know, I don't like to lose. Right? Neither does she, by the way. Who likes to lose? A loser? I mean, what kind of person likes to lose? Right? Yeah, I like to lose. Then you don't like to play. Right? So some people that they like to lose, they just don't like to play. So here's what I think is a great thing. When people that are excited and faster than you, okay, two things. Be excited for them because eventually they will time out. And then you have an easier way to get there. Okay, so be for them. Let's be for. I think we are. I don't want it to be. I don't want what we're trying to do for something to be a point of contention. I don't think it is. I don't know, but I just want to make sure. Right? Amen. So I got a bonus question. You don't get a stamp. Just a bonus question. So who knows it. They lost something. What did they lose? Yes, they lost medicine. Right? They lost medicine. How did they lose it? Well, we assume, I read the letter as the package was open, it could have fell out. I like to think positive. It was an accident. Can we go with that? We don't know. Man, assumptions are sometimes it gets you. Somebody stole it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe it broke. All right, let's go. 1:2:16. All right, I'm going to get lynched over thinking somebody didn't steal. Okay. Amen. 2:16. Let's all stand. Thank you. You know, I marvel that our choir does as well as the choir does. Amen? I think the choir does great, and I really don't know music that well. I know notes and stuff like that, but to sing it like that one, we were supposed to actually do the whole chorus every time, except for the last verse. Yeah, and so I was like, somebody else start, okay. And so I've always been a pretty mediocre song leader, and always have been. I'd always mess up, and so it amazes me what God can do with us if we will give Him even what we have, even if we don't have it all. Amen. And so, so that means you could too. Wow, that went quiet. All right. Well, you're like, I didn't know you were setting up for recruitment. Well, look here. I just want to go over some of these announcements. We've been going on these things. The Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. It's really, I think there's two books of the Bible that are great for churches to do. I mean, all of them. But as a church, to go through verse by verse is two things. Is the Book of Acts is the beginning of the church, of what we are. And then the second one, the second book that deals with almost every problem and every issue that could come up is really 1 Corinthians. Deals with so many things, and so many things are in there, and so really great stuff. And so, but it takes a while. It takes a while. We will probably come to a point in the Book of Acts and stop again and go to do some other things, because to go verse by verse on a Sunday morning is going to take, it would take as long as it's taken me to get through Proverbs. Right? We're still on Proverbs. And so when are we going to finish Proverbs? We won't finish Proverbs. We'll probably either stop or just Jesus will come. One of those two is going to happen. And so, but we will go to maybe another stopping point in the Book of Acts down the road, and then we'll take a break from it. It's like, well, yeah, but you know, some people, it's okay. Just go back and listen to it. It's all online, right? It's all there. And so I'm excited about that, what we're doing. And then the book of Job here on Sunday night's a little different. And so we will finish that. It's only 42 chapters. I wish I could go through a couple chapters at a time. This is my goal. I'm like, let me go through a couple chapters. And there's so much in there. If I leave some of it out, you're going to still be like, what was all that stuff in there? And so, because I'm like, what's all that stuff in there? And so I want to help us with that. And so it's good. I do want to mention something, by the way, of a service announcement. If you find a pen in the back of those pews and you pull it out to use it and it doesn't work, please don't put it back in there. Take it out. Take it with you. We have a trash can on your way out. And just get rid of it, because we don't want to leave it in there. And then, you know, you're going through the next one. It's like, I'll put that one back, get another one. It's okay. Take it out, throw it away. We don't want it there. And so we're not going to have somebody go by each week and mark on it and see how well it works. So if you do that, just to... that'd be a help. And so we do have some new pins. We're going to see some new pins here coming out in the next couple weeks. There'd be some new pins in the pews that actually fit in there a little bit better, that don't fall out, and no rubber things for kids to rip off the top. So that'll be a help. And or adults. I don't, you know, some adults do that too. Fidgety people. Let me tell you a story. I've had a couple of my children that would break things. One of them would break things like, and I had to tell her, I gave it away to her, and I would tell her, I said, don't, and I still do, don't touch that, just don't plug that in, don't do that, you're going to break something, and because there's been a lot of breakage, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it's somebody in this room, and then I have another daughter that she would pick something up and start fidgeting with it until it's broken. And so, remember those fidget spinners? Yeah, that was that one. And so, she understands with her students now in schools. Like sometimes, you know, like, no, here's something to, anyhow. I don't know where I was going with that. The pins. That's, amen. Let's get back to it. How does that apply? It doesn't. 244. Amazing Grace. Going to be in Job chapter 9. It's like, is that all the further we've gotten? That's it. That is it. I say this, and I say it quite a bit, but I do mean it, and I don't want to bore people. That's not my goal. Some of y'all are like, well, hey, you know, you're not doing too good at that. Well, I don't want to bore people, but I don't want to just go through something so we can say we did it, right? Yeah, we did that book and that book and that book. I want to, when we're done, when we get to the end of a book of the Bible, that we say, no, I understand that. And if you have a conversation with somebody, you can speak intelligently and teach them something. I mean, that's what I want to, so that's the goal. Job chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time tonight. Thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go into it. And Lord, as we continue this study, that you'd help us to see in this aspect of faith on trial. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way tonight. We'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we come now to Job's response to Bildad. So a couple weeks ago, we looked at Bildad, and he had the second speaker, the second friend of Job, and here he is. He had just finished strengthening the prosecution's case, really. And really is this, he said, God's just. And he said this, God doesn't pervert judgment. If you look back there at chapter 8 and verse 3, he asks it in the way of a question. Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? And so he's going on to that thing. He's really what Bildad was saying. Therefore, Job must be guilty. Because God's judgment is just. So now, Job responds. You're going to find here, Job's going to respond. And what he says is not a denial of God's justice. It's something actually far more troubling. This is really actually a pretty troubling chapter in the Bible of what Job is going to realize and what he's going to talk about. Bildad used God's justice to accuse Job.
Job now uses that same truth to show that if that's all we have, no man has a chance. If all we have is God's justice, we have no chance. Because if God is perfectly just, how can man ever stand before Him? So number one is this, the acknowledgement of God's justice. So in verse 2, he says, I know it is so of a truth. You know, Job doesn't argue against Bildad's theology. He doesn't argue about what he's saying about God. Matter of fact, he's affirming it to be true. What you've said about God, God is just. God is wise. God is powerful beyond measure. The things that Bildad spoke of. Listen, Job said these things. I know it is so of a truth. It's true what you said about God. So Job begins to describe now the greatness of God. Look here again, verse 2. And he says, but how should man be just with God? And he says, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. So here's what he's saying about God. He said, God moves mountains, and ain't nothing they can do about it. They don't even know. I got moved. Right? And in his anger, he moves them. God moves them. He said, God commands the sun, and the sun doesn't rise. That's what he's saying about God. He said, God governs all of creation. It's really what Job is saying here. And this is where Job turns the entire argument. Verse 11. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Okay. So if God is this great, and if God is this just, then how can any man stand before him? How can anyone even ask what God is doing? God, what are you doing over there? When he says no one can ask, he's not saying, like, God, what are you doing in my life? Not like that, but like, kind of, are you doing the right thing, God? Who can ask what God is doing? Look here. This isn't Job rebelling against the nature of God. What we're finding here is his realization. You understand? He's realizing, based on Bildad's argument, you're right. You're right. What you said about God, His justice, His judgment. You're right. And who can stand before Him? Listen, Job is not lowering God. He is seeing God rightly where He is. Man, I'll tell you, that'd do us a big favor to do that right there. To see God who He is. Well, I just don't think God ought to... Stop. Please stop. Or don't be close to me while you're doing that. You know what I mean? I'm thinking if lightning strikes, you know, that kind of thing. We always say that. But I'm just saying that's trouble. I think I'm just saying this. I think it would do us some good to realize who God is, as he's talking about. Bill Dad said, well, God could do all this stuff, and God could do this, and if this is happening to you, it's obviously you've done something wrong. And he goes on to this thing, and Job now answers him, you're right. God is just. In seeing God rightly, Job sees himself as unable to stand before him. What a terrible realization. What a terrible realization that, and he's going to get to this in just a moment, but there's nothing I can do about this. I am 100% completely out of control. So number two is this, the impossibility of man's defense. The impossibility of man's defense. Look at verse 13. If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? So Job is going to use kind of some, what I like to think about is some courtroom language here. So in this trial, right, he's saying this, I cannot answer God or even argue my case. Really what it's saying there, it's kind of a strange, little bit of a different terminology in verse 13. It said, the proud helpers do stoop under him. The proud helpers were, it's a word that it means the proud. The proud, the arrogant. It's translated here as proud helpers. It's talking about what would be understood as those that are full of pride and those are full of arrogance and self-righteousness. He said, if those stoop under, those don't even have an answer, how am I going to answer? Right, what he's saying here. He said, I can't answer God or argue my case. Essentially, he is saying this. God is the great judge. But he's also the great prosecutor. He is the all in all. How could I at all defend myself in this courtroom? He's realized that as his friends are bringing this to talk about the justice and judgment of God, he's without standing. I don't think he's saying it's unfair. I don't feel that tenor in his voice of saying this is unfair. I don't see that. You don't stand in court and say, Judge, this is not fair. I think that would be a bad idea anyway. But I don't think that doesn't seem to be his spirit. Never has, and still doesn't seem to be that. But I think what he's saying is, but he's saying this in an impossible case to argue. I'm in an impossible place to argue this. To the point, even if Job were right, he could not prove it in court to God. Look at verse 15. He said, whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. You see what's happening here? Notice the statement carefully. He says, though I were righteous, it's not, this isn't an admission that he's unrighteous. That's not what he's saying. Even in this case, even if I am right, I still cannot defend myself to God. We have come up to the realization that the courtroom is not balanced. This is a stacked court. God is the judge. Verse 16. If I had called And he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. So, Job's come to this place where he's looking at his circumstances. Hear what I'm going to say. He's looking at his circumstances to define God's work in his life. Okay, stay with me here. Okay. What he's doing, he's looking at his life and saying, how is God dealing with me based on what's going on in my life? Make sense? Y'all following me here? So, you know, we could find ourselves there, can't we? And things maybe go a little difficult, a little sloppy, a little trouble. Difficulties coming in our life, challenges coming in our life, and we could begin to, as Job, I believe, is what's happening here. We could begin to discern what God is doing. Can I say even this? Who God is, what's going on with God, based on what's going on in my life. I think that would be a big mistake for us to do. He's saying this, even if God did answer him, nothing about his condition would make him feel heard. You ever prayed? Amen. And asked God for something in your life and felt like God didn't do it? Of course, if you've prayed much at all, you've been there. You ever prayed, asked God to do something, and expected Him to do it? I mean, definitely God's going to do this. Definitely. No, He didn't. And there's no good reason why He didn't in our minds. And it can feel like, it doesn't feel like God didn't do it for us. It feels like God didn't hear us. Where are you, God? Right? Imagine Job's situation. So he's coming into this thing, and this is where we kind of find here there in verse 16. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. And so we find this kind of place here. God, here's the thing. Not only is God the judge, but God is the one bringing the pressure. Okay, now listen, I want you to grab this part. Don't miss this because you're going to miss the whole thing. According to his thinking. We know the truth. He doesn't. Okay? And so what gives us the story, the thing is we don't know the whole story in our lives or in someone else's life. But we know that story, but he doesn't. So he's trying to figure this out, and what he feels like God's the one bringing the pressure. Verse 17, for he breaketh me with the tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with a bitterness. So God's not only the judge, but he's also the one bringing the pressure. And then on top of that, God is the one controlling the outcome. Verse 19, if I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? You know what he's saying is this right here, folks. Said, how can this ever work out for us? So we've seen his lamentation before. We've seen his lamentation. His lamentation in the past that we've seen in the other chapters is lamenting over his situation. Now it got bigger, didn't it? You see what's happening? It got bigger. It's not just over his personal, the affliction that's coming to him. Now it's this situation of saying, how is this even going to work out? I tell you, you could get yourself in a whirlwind trying to think deeper on this stuff. You're like, how is this? You know, you try to think all these things about God and all these things that we don't understand. And how is this even going to work? Well, what about those people in faraway places that never heard the gospel? Are they going to hell too? We get into these kind of questions. We get confused and we get all this kind of thing. He said, how can this ever work out for us? God is the judge, He's the jury, and He's the executioner. So Job is describing his frustration. Look at verse 20. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. It's a pretty tough situation he finds himself in. If I speak, I condemn myself. If I stay silent, I have no defense. Man, you feel his frustration here? It's like he's backed into a corner and his friends, they're being a blessing. So thankful you got folks like that surround you. And I'm telling you, be a friend that helps people. Don't be a friend that hurts people. That's not a friend. Well, yeah, they just needed to be told. Maybe not. Let's don't pride ourselves on how well we tell people what they need to hear. I say this because I've been on that side a lot. I just, think they need to know the truth. Yeah. But could we preach the truth in love? Right? I mean, not just a sprinkle of love, but like a whole shovel full of it, of love that comes in where that truth comes in so encompassed in love that it feels like love and not bitterness. Job is on his own, distraught, frustrated. What's going on? My whole family's dead. My children are all dead. Everything's gone. Why? I don't know. Now I've got these friends saying it's your fault. Really is what he said. There's no way to win in this court case. He said, there's no way to win. I can't win. Circumstances can frustrate us to the point of utter confusion. Verse 21. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. Essentially, Job is saying this. He's saying, at this point, I'm not even sure if I believe myself anymore. Can you see? He's like, I know I didn't do anything, but now I'm kind of wondering maybe I did. Even if I was perfect. Now I'm like, I don't know if I believe myself. I don't know if I even trust myself anymore. And that's, by the way, that's not God doing that. Do you understand? That's not God doing that. He doesn't even know if he knows. He said, I despise my own life. And I must have. Here's where we can get ourselves in a trap. We can begin hating ourselves for the circumstances that we're in. Hating yourself is not in any way humble. That's not humility. Can I tell you what hating yourself is? It's pride. Pride is, I'm just a terrible person. I just want to tell everybody how terrible I am. I'm a terrible person. And we bring this up. I must just be terrible. No, you don't want to be my friend. You don't want to be my friend. I'm a terrible person. God's going to judge me. But why haven't you called me? Right? This kind of thing. And so this isn't a good place. And Job is one of the top three in the Old Testament, right? I say one of the top three. He's mentioned in a group of three. I don't know. There's no top three. But you understand when I say that. God pointed him out. He is a righteous man. Escheweth evil. God was, if I use this word, God was proud of the life that Job was living. So what he's in is a place of confusion in his own mind because he's looking at his circumstances. So then Job observes something deeply troubling. Deeply troubling. Verse 22. This is one thing. Therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. So, again, Job's not making a doctrinal statement here. We don't take doctrine out of the book of Job. Okay. Because there's a lot of things going on. But he's describing what it looks like from where he's standing. The system that God has going on, what Job is seeing, doesn't seem to distinguish the perfect from the wicked. You see, he's saying, this is one thing right here I've seen, and so therefore I said it. I saw it, so I'm just saying it. He destroys the perfect and the wicked. That's what God does. Is that what God does? No. So, verse 23. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. And the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where? And who is he? And he's questioning God now. To Job, the world is upside down. God laughs, or rather that word laughs, it's not like comedy, but it really means this. It's disinterest. Disinterest, and he says there, when he says that, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. And in other words, what he's saying, when the innocent are under trial, God treats it as if he's not even interested. Is that who God is? There's people who think like that. And Job at this point, I want us to keep this set in our minds. When he's looking at his circumstances, he's coming to this thinking. He describes it from what he's seeing. And he goes on, he says, and he covers the eyes of justice. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked, he covereth the faces of the faces of the judges thereof. So he's saying, when this happens, so God doesn't care about the innocent, and he's hiding his eyes, his face from the justice when the wicked do things. He's saying this, all suffer together, regardless of how they live. Okay, look, what Job is wrestling with in response to Bildad's accusation is that things are not always as they seem. Here's what he's really saying. Here's what he's really trying to give Bildad. Things are not always what they seem. Looks like that, but it can't be. Because I know God. Right? Because the reality, here's what Job is saying, the reality is, of what I am experienced does not fit who I know God to be. Look here, folks, don't go by your feelings. Feelings will fraud you. Man, they'll fraud you. Feelings will get you staying at home and get your head under your pillow, sleeping in your bed for long hours, depression. Feelings will get us turning from God to other things for answers. Because when we look at our situation, our feelings say God must have. So when we are tempted to do that, do people ever get tempted to feel like that? Man, absolutely. Are every one of us going to be tempted with those kind of things? You better believe it. Well, not me. Yeah, hold on. I can remember, I used to think, I can't believe people would ever backslide. How could people ever backslide? For years, I'm like, how did it? And then, you know, trouble came into my life, pressure, and I'm like, okay. Sorry for how I thought about all you people through the years. You know what I mean? And you realize that, man, things come, and all of a sudden, you've got to make some tough decisions, and you want to hide your head. And so, listen, it's what's going on is the reality that he was seeing doesn't agree. And so when we want to start getting confused about what's going on, we go back to what we know about God. Go back to what you know about God. So in other words, what he's saying is your accusations don't make sense. Let me rephrase that. He's saying your accusations do make sense, but it's not fitting me. Which brings us to the third thing. The longing for a mediator. So, right here is the heart of the chapter. Job sees his life slipping away. Look at verse 25. He says, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent." See, life is passing quickly and there's no relief in sight for Job. So this goes back to his frustration. His situation is as though he is one that is being treated as guilty. And even if he tries to go forward, the problem still remains. I can just say, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. Right? No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter. But I go back and I'm still there. I'm still being treated as I'm. What is he? He says there, verse 20, "I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent." So no matter what, no matter I'm just going to go on with my life. You ever heard people say that? How's that thing going? I'm just going to go on my life. I'm not even going to deal with it. Folks, listen, let me tell you this right here on a side note. Don't think you can have sin back here that you can not deal with. And I'll move far from it, but it'll stay back there. It's tied to you. Now we're not talking about Job's sin, but I just want, here's kind of what he's saying, this kind of situation. It just, I want to go on, I won't move on, but I'm still, there's this situation going on. Even if he tries to move forward, the problem remains. Verse 29. "If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water." Snow water. You like that one? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is snow water? What's snow that melted? That's it. So what's the idea of snow water? The concept of snow water is it was considered as whether it was really believed that, but it was considered as pure water. Came down, it's frozen, then it melted. That was the purest water. Anyhow, that's what it means. He says, "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me." He said, if I wash with the cleanest of water, you're going to throw me in the ditch. And my clothes aren't even going to like me. That's really what he's saying. He said, verse 32, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment." Wow. He says that he started back there. He said, verse 29, if I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? He's saying this, if I'm already condemned, what is the point? What's the point? What's the point going on if I have no hope? He doesn't say that, no hope, but Job is a smart guy. He knows God. I mean, that's why he was called out by God. And he never really, very rarely does he actually call out the things, but he's really talking about his confusion, his frustration, his lamentation. But now comes the key statement of the chapter, right here in verse 33. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Look back there in verse 32. Let me say that one again. For he is not as man as I am that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. He said, I can't just go up to God and say, let's work this out. God, can we work this out, God? Listen, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do this for you. We can't bargain with God. He said, and that's when verse 33 says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hands on both. Listen, a daysman is a mediator. That's what it is. It's someone who can stand between two parties. Someone who can represent both sides. That's what a mediator is supposed to do, right? Comes in and I'm neutral. I'm just going to kind of, let's bring you together. A lot of companies, a lot of things, you're going to get into something. You got to agree to arbitration, right? We're going to get this, mediator. Well, our company knows a guy. Anyhow, you get that later. So he said, there is not one. Job is essentially saying, I cannot reach God. He's too great for me to answer. I need someone between us. Someone who can lay a hand on God and can lay a hand on me and can bring us together in judgment. But here's the tragedy. Verse 34. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his spear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. There is none. There is no mediator. There is no advocate. There's no way to bridge the gap. There's no defense, there's no appeal, and there is no one to stand between us for us. What Job is saying here is the trial is impossible. You know, I've told the story here before. I'm sure most of you have heard this, but it fits here. Is a friend of mine in Sri Lanka by the name of Linton. Spent a lot of time with him, talking with him through the years, and Buddhist, devout Buddhist, say devout. He's, and I asked him one day, I said, who do you pray to? And he said, well, we don't pray. I'm like, oh, what are y'all doing there? He said, we're not praying, we're just bowing to idols. I'm like, oh, okay, I thought y'all was praying, because that's how it looked like prayer. He said, no, and for Buddhists, this isn't prayer. When they go and stand in front of the Buddha statue, it looks like they're praying to him and bowing to him. They're not. They're not actually praying to them. They're just looking at him and kind of meditating on him and thinking, I want to be like him. I want to be like that one. That's really all it is. And I said, okay, so when you have trouble and there's no answer for your trouble, I said, who do you cry out to? I said, when your parents don't have an answer, your family, your friends, When the Buddhist priest doesn't have an answer, I said, who do you cry out to then for help? He said, oh. He had to think through it. Could you imagine a question like that you'd had to think through? I mean, for us, there's not even, I mean, it's just, we cry out to God. I mean, immediately. But he thought about it, and he thought for a moment. It seemed like a while, but he said, we have no one. Man, probably the saddest thing I ever heard in my life. That's what Job's saying. Here's the conclusion tonight. Bildad thought Job's suffering proved his guilt. But Job shows that the problem is far greater than just his suffering. If a man must stand before God on his own. He has no case. I mean, no case that he could ever win. Well, God, here's, I like to ask people this question. I ask them something like this: if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Good question. Like, why? That's an old question. I know it's an old one, still a good one. That's why we still use it. People say something like, well, yeah. I say, okay, which is my second question. Well, if you're standing before the Lord, and he said, why should I let you in heaven? By the way, God will never ask that question. Because if you're standing before him, you're either in or you out. It's two judgment seats. But for the scenario, if you're standing before God and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Right? What would you say? And they said, well, I mean, 9 out of 10, they'll say something like this. Well, I've done this, I'm nice to people, I kind of read my Bible, I pray, and I do this. They get whatever that list may, it could be as long as their arm. List of this, that, the other. Doesn't matter what it is. The fact of the matter is, no one can stand before God on his own and win that case. None. Not a one of us. Ever. In the history of the planet, ever could justify or win a case in front of God against his justice and his judgment. So the second thing, Job cannot deny God's justice. God is right. God is right. God is powerful. And God cannot be overruled. God is the only one that has one of these. Ain't nobody else can say, well, I'm going to overrule God and the justice, the Supreme Court. God is the supremest court. There ain't nobody that can bring a gavel over God. He cannot be overruled. But that means Job has no court of appeal. So then the third thing is this. Job reaches now to the real need. He said in verse 33, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. You know what he said? He said, he doesn't need a better argument. There is no argument. He said, I can't answer him. He doesn't need a better explanation. There is no explanation. He needs someone who can stand between him and God. Which brings us to the last thing. That someone isn't you and I. It's Jesus Christ. I don't know. The law wasn't... I'm very sure by the writing of Job, the law wasn't written. It wasn't there. But I do believe there was already the... From the book of Genesis, the idea of a coming Messiah was going to come. I don't know how clear thought they had there. But I'm telling you, when he said there's no mediator, there's no daysman. Aren't you glad there is one? Whew. Poor Job, man, bless his heart. What a mess. Great, godly, righteous man. But he didn't know what we know. I mean, he ain't as wise as us. I'm telling you, based on this word of God, we have so much more than Job. He's frustrated. I understand what's going on here. I don't understand how this works. I do. Well, of course, we know the story. God let us in on that. If you haven't let Jesus be your mediator, you have no chance. No. There's no chance. There's no back door. There's no other way. Well, I just think there's more than one way. Wrong. There's no other way. No other way. Salvation is by none other name, right? Given among men. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am one of the ways. The way. Well, you just people think you're right. No, I don't think I'm right. I think he's right. Man, I'm glad. I don't need to be right. I don't need to be right. But I want to know who is right. And I'm so thankful that I was so smart to figure that out. Right? I'm so thankful that the mediator came to me. Man, what an amazing thing. If you've never let Jesus Christ be your mediator, you have no chance, you have no hope, and you have no way to win your case ever. But there is now a mediator. There's a daysman who is standing in the gap that we may cross that bridge to God. Two things that were close. If you've Sunday night, but God knows what we don't know. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I mean, you've never reached out and said, I don't have an answer. I am not the way. I can't get there. Except for there's a daysman that had come between me and God. If you've never had that time in your life where you say, I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I am still working my way there. I don't even know how I'm going to get it. If you're like anything like Job, he said, I don't even know how it's going to work out. Trust Him today. You say, man, I'm so glad. I know that my Redeemer liveth. If you're like that tonight, can I say this to you? Tell somebody else that doesn't know. Tell somebody that doesn't know. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, with your word, your truth. And Lord, we are such a privileged people, living in such a privileged generation. Your word is so clear to us and complete. Lord, we have these answers of those that have wrestled with these things without the understanding. And yet here we are. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, give us the courage, the boldness, and the willingness to, number one, to trust Christ as our Savior. And then number two, that we would take it to someone that needs it. Lord, we are a fearful people. So, Lord, we need your boldness. Lord, have your own way in this time of invitation tonight. So if God has spoken to your heart, the invitation is open to you tonight. What is your need tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I need to trust Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you just say, I want to be saved. Maybe you say, I don't want to go one more day. I don't want to go one more moment without settling salvation. If that's you, you could come tonight. Say, Pastor, I want to know. I want to know. Maybe God's laid someone on your heart that you know doesn't know. Maybe you'd be burned tonight to realize, I don't know if they know. Let's don't leave that. Don't leave somebody with, I don't know if they know. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange. in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Amen. Well, have a good week. See you Wednesday night. And we have a wedding on Saturday. Amen. Be here 11:30. Amen. Amen. Some are coming early to help with parking, some different things. If you want to come, be a blessing. I appreciate it. And otherwise, we'll be next Sunday. Well, they're not going to be with us, but they'll be different. A new name written down written down on the document. Amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Look forward to that. And have a good week.